actual way to get out? You know, can we get our kids out? You know, can I get out, frankly?
That was Ta-Nehisi Coates reading from Between the World and Me. Before that was Angela Davis at Malcolm X College, presented with permission from the Chicago Film Archives. This has been Political Perspectives on 90.7 KBOO Portland.
And you're tuned to KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. And coming up at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, Chris Siegel hosts The Food Show and would tell us how the sharing economy has come to the kitchen. Also, how Donald Trump's presidency will affect food policy. But coming right up is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And today, you'll want to be tuning in because we have a interview directly from Standing Rock in North Dakota, and we look forward to hearing about that after a couple of announcements. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue in Portland. KBOO and Elysian Brewing will celebrate the release of the Manic IPA series with hip-hop, funk, and electronica spun by The Pariahs, DJ Dakimba, and Vinology. Again, that's Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue, 3341 Southeast Belmont Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, November 16th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, we've got a guest familiar to many listeners, Lana Jack, controversial in many quarters. Lana, today is going to be speaking with us from Standing Rock, where she is bringing a little bit of a light and a little bit Song of the River to people there. And solidarity as well, of course, with tribes, with nations who are arriving on a daily basis from across the country. The latest number that I've heard is 6,000 people are there. And this was predicted to drop off. Mainstream media expected the numbers at Standing Rock to drop off when the weather got cold. And it turns out that fires are only burning bigger and brighter and hotter than ever. Before we speak with Lana, Lana is standing by right now, and we do have to again recognize that we live in the natural world, however much concrete we may have poured on top of it, and talk first about the weather today. Again, it's pretty certain that we're going to see rain, and a high around 50, light winds, and then for tonight, again, more rain, and lows around 42. Not much wind, south wind 5 miles per hour. Heading into tomorrow, Rain may be tapering off a bit, and we could see a little bit of sun breaking through. Highs around 51, not much in the way of wind for tomorrow night. Overcast skies, and get this, lows around 39. Probably a little bit colder as we get further out into the rural environs around Portland. Not much wind to speak of. That's it for the weather. There's a lot to talk about. Voter suppression. Voter suppression, of course, is going to be far higher in First Nations communities. They'll do everything they can. They didn't expect people to vote, but what we're learning now, post-election, about what happened is increasingly disturbing. And just a note, again, caution here, of course, that I am biased and everybody knows what side I stand on. And I do want to, from what I've seen, what I've heard, and from what I've come up with and don't have time to substantiate in 15 minutes, is that it is going to be very, very bad. It is not, the Trump presidency is going to be far worse than anyone expected. It's an absolute certainty. So it's no good saying, well, we'll just wait it out. Maybe it won't be too bad. Yes, it will. It'll be bad and worse. Many of the changes that a Trump presidency is going to bring will be irreversible. There are some chemical reactions that can't be undone. And we're going to be looking at a great many of them. That said, we want to get right into it. Leonard Peltier is back in the news, and that's something that Lennon, when I talk about with Lana, what it would mean if he were to be released right now. Of course, you make a beeline straight for Standing Rock with predictable results. That's one result that we can predict, I think. There's a lot of other news here. The police officer in Minneapolis is facing Officer Geronimo Anez, who shot Philander Castile, is facing manslaughter charges. And again, something that's unexpected and unexpected at the same time as so many results that we see bubbling up from the geopolitical landscape here. America really is rapidly becoming a third world country. For some people, that's bad news. For a lot of us, that's really good news. We've been looking for that for a long time because there's a lot of rebuilding to do and everybody is ready to start doing it. Here in Oregon, the defeat of Measure 97 has left the state reeling with a $1.4 billion budget hole. Now it's time to start figuring out how to fill that. That's going to be far more difficult, too, under a Trump presidency for a variety of reasons. What's good for business is not good for the average person. It's only good for the people at the top. And those people could give a rip whether or not there's a huge looming budget hole here, because they'll never face any kind of looming budget hole. Or maybe they will if we do continue down the third world road that we've set ourselves out on. And on that note, I want to bring on Lana right now. Lana, Jack, if for those of you who've been listening, is a guest that we always welcome back to the KBOO airways, controversial in some ways, which actually baffle me, but there it is. And she has been a lone voice crying out, speaking on behalf of and relentlessly and unstoppably on behalf of her people. And why? Because Salalo is where she lives, her ancestors have lived, where they fished for thousands of years, and she won't stop, she won't back down. It's a no retreat, no surrender position. And Lena brings that with her to Standing Rock. Again, another no retreat, no surrender situation. And with that said, good morning, Lena. We're so happy to welcome you from Standing Rock to the KBOO airwaves. I can't think of a better person to speak to about what's happening there, conditions on the ground. Hi, good morning.
Good morning from Standing Rock, Osiki's Cowan Camp. I've been here for a few days, and for the most part, the first few days just kind of getting familiar with the camp and the folks here and what's happening, and there's a whole lot to speak to on that note. And yesterday, though, I joined an action group, a direct action group, against the company bringing in the platform for their pipelines here for the crossover at the river. So they're proceeding as usual, even though, you know, people are saying this halt, that halt, and the other.
Is this legal? Is it legal what they did, what you saw them doing yesterday?
It's absolutely illegal. We stood there as peaceful protesters, not protesters, protectors. And, of course, you know, we were blocking their road and even, you know, had our presence on the tracks where they were crossing over to bring in stuff, gravel and everything else, whatever they're needing for the pipeline. And we were just about to disperse, and we were leaving. I actually was leading the ladies out with a Woman's Warrior song, because part of it was in commemoration or with the thought or idea that of the missing and murdered Indigenous women from Canada. And the idea behind doing that yesterday, everybody wore red because the red dress is significant to the missing and the murdered women. But one of the things that was brought to my attention as of yesterday was that the pipeline and the work, the man camps is the word they use, the man camps bring imminent danger to the women up and down in Indian country. Well, just probably women in general, but being a little ethnocentric from an Indian community here, the protectors wore these red, everything was red yesterday for the missing and murdered women and having the connection with the pipe workers that come through. And but it went down south real quick, even though, you know, they said go and or you're going to jail. Well, it didn't matter. People were going to jail anyway, whether we were leaving peacefully or not. So even as I led the women out with the Warriors song, it was shortly thereafter the cops crossed over the tracks and began to just take people down, and they were shooting some sort of pellets with powder in it and pepper spray, like in size of, you know, extinguisher cans, and everybody, all the officers were decked to the teeth for battle. I just cried and cried. It was really hard for me to just kind of stand across from them and just kind of see their hate. It's not like they were just standing there in defense of the pipeline. There was some really tremendous forces of just hate. I could just feel it. And then it broke out so fast and so quick that people were going for their cars because they were towing cars as well. And and I had immediately just had a panic attack, and I couldn't breathe, and I fainted. And the officer that came to my side was so compassionate and kind, and he just protected me because people were going to jail all around me. People were being ripped out of their cars and thrown to the ground and knees put in their back as they were putting their arms behind their back, and they were literally in their cars getting ready to go and being ripped out.
My question for you is
so
media.
Into a place of panic, and I passed out. And when I come to, I had an officer looking out for me. So he's my guardian angel for the day because he protects me from the other officers. You know, the other officers were just ripping people out.
I have a question for you. Because we've only got a couple of minutes left. Regarding media and whether or not, apart from our conversation here, getting the message out. Our line's still jammed because the silence. There has been some reporting in mainstream media and of what's happening at Standing Rock, and there's a lot of reporting, of course, on whatever happens as far as direct action in cities around the U.S. in support of Standing Rock. But getting the mainstream message out through mainstream media, have you and others there had any success with that, talking, speaking truth to power through mainstream channels?
CNBC was here the other day, and yeah, but Kennedy was out yesterday. He's mainstream media attention catcher. I don't know. There was a number of cameras and stuff rolling here while he was here. He and, I forget the gentleman's name from the Sierra Club. He's the top guy at the Sierra Club. They came out yesterday with Dan Aykroyd and some of their family, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. brought his family out to the... In terms of media and getting it out there, just the people who have some sway in the community and on a greater, they take it back with them. So whether there's a ton of people out here with media or not, people who come in take it back wherever they're going.
And I want to finally, before we let you go, I know that here in Cascadia, your cause, of course, is to have your people officially recognized, and there are many tribes all around the country who also are engaged in that same struggle. What has been? Have you connected with any other people who share your struggle, and have you shared stories with those people? Just one word before you go. Before we let you go today.
Oh, there's a lot of people out here whom I've talked to. I don't know where it's going to go, but, you know, the thing about this whole thing in terms of looking at the outcome and in the hopes for victory and whatnot, I think that the Army and people across this land are absolutely in opposition, because it would set precedents for people like myself to reclaim things that were stolen, right?
Yeah, that's